You're listening to Careers and Cocktails, Career Talk with a Twist, hosted by expert recruiter Renee Fry. Let's get this party started.
Hey, party people. Welcome back to Careers and Cocktails. I am thrilled we are here. We're here on Cinco de Mayo, which we're getting festive. We're going to have a margarita. That's Blake's favorite drink, but I'm so excited to be zooming in with Blake Schofield. She and I worked together. Well, we both ended up at Target, and that's how I met her, was I recruited her to Target. So Blake, tell us who you are.
Yeah. Hi, thanks so much for having me, Renee. It's so fun to be here. And on Cinco de Mayo, it's literally the perfect day. I actually had a huge sombrero hat that I thought about bringing in, but I didn't. But now I wish I did with your little maracas. And being growing up in Texas, we definitely celebrate Cinco de Mayo around here. It's a fun thing. So my name is Blake Schofield. I'm the founder of Connections Illuminated. And I spent 18 years in corporate America, actually in corporate retail, before transitioning into running my own business in 2017. I'm a mom of three kiddos. I often say I have the craziest schedule. I have one in high school, one in middle school, and one in elementary. And I'm really blessed to be able to spend my days really helping women to be more empowered and have the tools to create life on their terms. I often say the work that we do is my team and I, we help driven, heart-centered professional women who are at a career crossroads figure out how to best leverage their skills and their passions to transition into more fulfilling work and have more time with their family without having to take a step back in their career financially or having to start over.
I absolutely love this. And we're going to dive really deep, but I know you have your margarita ready. I'm going to make mine. So I do have a margarita glass. I'm going to rim the glass. Oh, I love that. I'm going to take a lime and just rim it to get it wet so I can put it in the salt. Oh, and my salt is very coarse.
I'm so jealous. I'm like, what happened to my salt? Somehow we ran out. It's just not the same without it. So,
right. I love anything on the rim. Like, oh my gosh. It's nice when you add a little chili powder to salt and mix it up and put it on the rim. It's spicy. Then I'm going to put my ice in a shaker. And this is my favorite tequila, Casamigos. It used to be the George Clooney brand. He sold it for $1 billion, I think. But it's so good. You can even drink it on the rocks. It's the Blanco. So I've already got two ounces of that. I'm going to pour that into my shaker. And then 3/4 ounces of lime juice. So mine's going to be a little different than yours. I'm not going to add the, I'm just making it with lime juice and tequila.
What I love about margaritas, though, you can have a million different kinds. And that's
And this one is super, like, there's no sugar, so it's super clean. I'm shaking it up. And I know you're a very, very cognizant of your nutrition and stuff. So, like, this doesn't have a lot of additives at all. It's just lime and tequila. It will be more on the tart side if you make it this way, but you can always add a splash of OJ. But,
Cheers. You can add a splash of honey as well, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? My favorite here, I don't have a knife. I need to cut this a little to get it on my glass. My favorite is when you do have the agave, but I'm kind of eating clean for 21 days, so gotta go with this. Cheers. Perfect for Cinco de Mayo, having a margarita. So, Blake, what can we help you celebrate this week?
You know, you asked me that, you sent me that question. And I was like, oh, I know what that is. I would actually say what you can help me celebrate this week is I've had two clients land brand new roles this week.
Oh, congratulations.
So we've been in the process of helping them negotiate and get everything sort of landed. And that's always, to me, that's always such a fun process when you are able to watch the journey from somebody feeling really trapped where they're at to going through the process, really uncovering their value and how to stand in it, and then you know, bringing that to fruition with a job that they're really passionate and excited about.
Yeah, that is tremendous. That's what I love about the work we do, about helping people get pay raises and promotion. That's the, I mean, you're literally like, you're changing people's lives just like we are. It's so, to me, it's the best profession to be in. So cheers to that. All right, we're going on the party bus, the Careers and Cocktails party bus. You can bring anyone, but they have to be alive. Who is coming with us?
I'm bringing Reese Witherspoon.
I love her.
I adore her so much. She's my favorite actress. I just think she has such a fun, like, sass and personality about her. And she's a Southern girl like me. So I think she would be a ball to hang out with.
Oh my gosh. The two Southern belles together. Wouldn't that be something? That'd be so fun. Fun, fun, fun. So tell me, what did you want to be when you grew up? Do you remember?
Yeah. Yeah. So I actually went through several things. When I was about 10, I wanted to be a lawyer. I thought that would be the best. But then I realized that I would probably want to prosecute people, and I would get way too invested if I wasn't successful. Like, that would just be emotionally devastating. And I also realized that you were like stuck in this room researching all day. I thought that does not sound fun. By the time I was 12, I really realized I had a passion for people. And my goal was to become a marriage and family psychologist. So I actually went to college for that, got my degree in psychology. And about my junior year is when I started to say, wait a second, some things about this don't feel like they fit. Ultimately ended up going into human resources because everyone told me, you love people, that's where you should go. Spent a couple years in HR before realizing, wait, this isn't it either. So my journey and my career path maybe started early. I think, like I said, at about 12, I really started to fundamentally realize some of those things. And I think for many of us, that's true. Whatever we wanted to be as a kid, there are fundamental elements of that, of like who we are as people. The challenge is always figuring out the puzzle and how it all comes together.
Right. So tell us, how do you do that with your clients? Because I know your career trajectory, but when did you finally say, screw you, corporate America, I'm doing my own thing, I'm going to help women and empower women?
Yeah, it was an incredibly long journey. I often say that the work I do today with my clients was a decade of my life, researching and really trying to figure out how I could do fulfilling and challenging work without having to sacrifice, my family and my time and my health and all of those things. But for me, it was a journey from starting out in human resources. I started actually in recruiting. So it's fun to be on the other side now, right? I was in there getting all the resumes, reviewing and seeing the gaps and opportunities as people interviewed and sent in their resumes. And then I moved from there into training. And I just saw there was something about HR that just didn't fit for me. I was really looking for something more strategic. I was constantly putting numbers to what I was doing. I'll never forget my first year. I was put in charge of the intern program at my company. And I went and dug through all the data to find out how many interns we had had in the past, how many of them actually had stayed at the company, how successful they were. And I remember going to my boss and going, oh my gosh, we have a 50% increase in retention of the people we brought in the intern program to people we hired. And she looked at me sort of like I was crazy. Like, what is this? What are you talking about? And so I realized early on I needed something more strategic. I ended up transitioning into merchandising. So I spent 16 years building, growing, and turning around multiple million-dollar businesses. But I went through cycles of feeling fulfilled at the very beginning of my jobs, and then this unsettled feeling would come over me, frustrated. And so my journey was long in that, Renee. I kept moving companies because I would learn things. I would learn, oh, I need this. I don't want a micromanaging boss. I need better work-life balance, or I need more flexibility or autonomy. And I would learn these things. I kept moving jobs or companies, hoping it would make it better. For me, ultimately, my final move, the straw that broke the camel's back, was when I moved to California. And I thought to myself, well, I just need to be able, this is amazing. This will be my dream job. I can run my own business with someone else's money. And when I went there, what I found was I had moved from Target, which was the best work-life balance I had in my entire corporate career. And I'm a mom of three kids. I'm commuting in and out of San Francisco. I ended up with almost a 3-hour commute daily.
Oh,
I was working 14-hour days. I was exhausted. And I just said to myself, I can't do this anymore. I'm just done. I had worked in every type of retailer you could work in, pretty much. And I looked and I said, it's clearly not here. I have done it over and over again. And so I really had what I call, and what I often talk to women about, when you stay in career paths that you're not fulfilled, what happens over a period of time is you go through the whole thing. The next job will make it better. The next boss will make it better. The next company will make it better. And then eventually, that time, the honeymoon in each job gets shorter. I often say it's like if you light a firecracker, right? It might start out slow, but then the flame starts going really, really fast. I would find myself the highs being less high and lasting for longer, frustration levels getting higher and lasting longer. And so I was going through that entire cycle through things. But when I finally got to that last job, I was like, I cannot. And so I hit what I call a breakdown moment, which I see happen over and over and over again to women. I just didn't realize it at the time because I had never experienced it, which is you get to a place where you're either so emotionally burned out, you're like, I can't get back up and go back to this job. Like, your body doesn't even want you to get up, or you end up being put on a performance plan or layoff. And I got to that breakdown moment and I just said, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And the only thing I knew at that point in time was that I wanted to help people that were in unfulfilling careers become more fulfilled. I actually didn't know it was going to be women only. I didn't know how I was going to help them. I just knew it had some form of element of coaching, and then it was about helping people get out of unfulfilling careers.
Awesome. So how did you say that you gathered 10 years, like it took you a decade, 10 years of your life to figure out this methodology that you utilize with your clients, but were you cataloging this, or was it just retrospect? Like, tell me about that process of how you came up with the methodology that you use with people.
Yeah, I wasn't cataloging it because, to be honest, I thought something was wrong with me.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did 100%. And I find that that's really common. I've always been really driven by my career. I've always been one of the most driven people I know. And I so many times would tell friends and family about how I felt, how frustrated I felt. And I would constantly get, you just need a hobby, or you should be happy. You have this amazing career, or you just need to worry about work less. And it made me feel like maybe something's wrong with me. Maybe I'll never be happy. Maybe I will never be fulfilled. Maybe this is just the way that it is. Maybe I just need to accept that I'm never going to have this amazing career that I had envisioned, and this is what it's like. And so I wasn't cataloging it because I was going through the cycle, and I didn't realize, I really thought I was the only one. I really thought something.
Really?
Yeah.
How did you work through that and ignore what people were saying to you and stand up for yourself and say, no, this, I'm okay, but this isn't, I don't want to do this anymore.
I think it really got to a place, like I said, I got to that breakdown moment where I had worked for so long trying to make the changes that I thought would make it better. And I could see some improvements. I could see where I was learning and gaining things. I just got to a place where I was no longer willing to tolerate it. And at that point, I was so miserable. At the end of my corporate journey, I had lost 10 pounds just surely because I had absolutely no appetite at all.
Oh my goodness.
My life was just so out of whack. I had the Sunday scaries every weekend. I was emotional. I would struggle to make it through a day without crying. By Wednesday, I was counting the days that I had made it half the week through. And so I really had just, I think the last straw for me, the thing that had kept me the longest is, you know, I've been the breadwinner for my family. I made a really good income, and I believed, and I had people telling me that I could not replace my income. And so I stayed trapped for years because I thought it would be irresponsible. I have 3 kids. I have a mortgage. We have, you know, car payments, all of these things. And I thought it would be so selfish of me to leave just so I could be happy and then negatively impact everybody else. Or I thought I would have to start over. I actually researched going back to college. I looked at a lot of things, and everything I looked at just felt like some huge time or financial sacrifice. And I just couldn't figure it out. But ultimately, I got to a place where I could see what I was doing was so unsustainable. And it was making me so physically ill, and I couldn't be present with my family in the way I wanted to. When I wasn't working, it bled into my entire life. I was thinking about work. I was trying to figure out how I could how I could transition to anything else. I spent years reading books, doing every, like, you can get all those tools, like how to figure out what to do in your career. I did all of those. I did everything that I knew how to do. And it really didn't work. And so ultimately for when I was in that very last job, and I felt like I had taken a massive step backwards from the work-life balance and the things I had had for the last 5.5 years when I was at Target. And I was leading a life that was so far removed from what I wanted to. I just got to a point where I said, I'm willing to sacrifice my income to at the time I would have described to you a sane life and to do meaningful work. And so much of my process, right? No, I didn't catalog it at the time, but I'm somebody who is very, very detailed. There is a very important sequence and nuance to uncovering these things about yourself that people don't understand. It is a very complicated process because it's complex, but it's much like, I lived in Minnesota, you did too, right? If you are in Minnesota in the fall, one of the things you do is go to the big corn mazes.
Yeah.
You do that. Love the corn mazes. And if you ever are just dropped in the middle of a corn maze and you have no map, I mean, the corn is like above your head. You have no clue where you are. If you were dropped in a corn maze and there was nobody there and you were trying to get out, you might be in there literally for a week trying to figure your way out, going around circles. That's what I would describe what my experience was like. And how understanding and having a map makes it significantly different. If you go into a corn maze and you actually get, they give you these beautiful maps that actually shows you the cutouts, right? Yeah. And then it will give you clues and it will tell you along this path, if you see, you look for this little clue box, get the clue box and it will tell you where to go. That same maze that would have taken a week or longer to get out yourself, you can get in and out in 20 minutes because you understand where you are. You have a gauge and understanding of the process and the steps, right? And you have a map to be able to help you figure out your way. And so what I really did is reverse engineer what that was and build the map of like, oh, what was that experience for me? What did I do? How did I get there? What were the things that actually really unlocked what I needed? And where was, honestly, the majority of my time going in circles? And so ultimately that's what I've really been able to do is build that map backwards to actually understand that it wasn't luck that every time I changed companies, I got 30 to 35% pay increases and I was paid in the top 75th percentile in my career. Like that happened because I understood fundamentally how to be successful in communicating and positioning myself in the market and negotiating. It wasn't luck that I was able to come in and build a multiple six-figure business. It happened because I understand people and I understand my gifts and how to convey and connect my skills and my gifts with the highest value in the market. And so ultimately what I did is basically be able to figure out how to reverse engineer that process for my clients so that it is simple. It is complex because there are, like I said, it's a sequence and there are a lot of elements that go into this that I think people really take for granted and don't understand. But it actually is simple if you understand and you have the map that tells you where to go and where you are in the process.
Yeah. First, incredible story. Thank you so much for sharing like the details and being so transparent with us. I really appreciate it. And awesome that you figured out this map because typically people, if they know where to go, then they can get unstuck. You know, I always say with some of the people that I work with that they're stuck and I'm here to help you get unstuck. So you get them through that maze. So that's awesome. I love that. So how does what you do today, Blake, align with the lessons and experiences you've had in your life?
Yeah. I mean, ultimately I often say to my clients, I named the business Connections Illuminated because what became clear for me when I finally understood what I call my secret sauce transferable skills and my fulfillment framework, which is the things I need in my career and life to truly be fulfilled. When I finally understood that, I went, oh my gosh, it was there all along. I just needed to be able to connect the dots all the way backwards. So I can tell you even like all the way back as a kid, even back in high school, I was the girl that my friends would always say to me, like, how is it possible that you've been able to do all of this? Or how is it possible you've overcome all of these things? My very first job, like got the job in the first interview. My mom's like, you can get any job you want kind of thing. My passion and desire at 10 and 12 years old, I was like, I'm an avid reader, always have been, like total bookworm as a kid. I never realized, and most of us don't realize these things about ourselves, things that are normal to us are actually unique to who we are. At 10 and 12 years old, I would go to the bookstore or the library, and I was reading books on self-development.
Are you kidding me?
No, personal development. And I was reading books on entrepreneurs or successful businesses at 10 and 12 and marketing. I was reading about that at 10 and 12 years old. I never thought that was unusual. It was just what I was interested in. The other day I had a conversation, somebody was asking, what did you do as a child? And I said, at 12 years old, I was running basically like it was almost like a mini sorority. I was president of this organization. And by the time I was either 13 or 14, I was on like their, you could be like on the larger board for the organization. I was doing that. And he was like, at 14. And I realized, oh yeah, that's also unusual. That's not what most people do. So fundamentally what I do today started way back. I mean, I've been doing this stuff for 30 years. So oftentimes people ask me like, how do you know all of this? Or how do you do all of this? It's like, I've been studying it for over 30 years. I just didn't even realize it because it was what I was naturally drawn to.
Yeah. So this was your calling and now you're doing what you are here. You are here in your purpose, which is incredible because people sometimes go forever, their whole entire lifetime, and they don't find their purpose. So
Thank you. It's such a blessing to be able to do what I do, and especially to have experienced as many years as I experienced, really most of my adulthood, feelings that something was off. There's a peace when you know you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, that like you're here to do. And it's a blessing to unleash that for so many other women too.
So I love the mindset stuff. I got into, or self-help books. I started reading those, gosh, as an adult, right? So you were way ahead of the game with learning and growth mindset and all that stuff. I think that's incredible. I try to do so much with my daughters. They're 9 and 11. I try to like get them to understand that because I think it'll help them throughout their life. And when they come up against obstacles and whatnot, they can get through it better. But now with women, how do you, like if a listener right now is listening, how do you identify when someone needs your help? Like at what point do they need to reach out for help, or what are they feeling? How do you coach people on that?
Yeah. So there's usually a couple of places that are really obvious. But they're, again, not obvious if you're there, because it certainly was not to me.
You're in the I call it swirl. You're in the swirl and you can't see beyond it, you know?
Yeah. And again, I think so oftentimes we try to talk to family and friends and they are not objective. So, right. They come up with the limits or the perspectives because that's where they're coming from, and B, they don't have the skills or experience. So they tell you it's not possible. I've had so many clients tell me friends and family told them what they wanted wasn't possible. And then yet now today they're living that life. But I would say a couple of things. If you have a pattern of severe burnout, you have a pattern of constantly hoping that the next job, the company will make it better. And you're experiencing these cycles of honeymoon and then things, right, feeling off and worse. And you see that that's progressively getting worse. Meaning, well, my last job, I was happy for 9 months or 12 months before it got bad. Now it's 6 months. Now it's, you know, if you start to see that pattern, those are signs and symptoms that you are increasing your risk towards the breakdown moment. And I think this is something that I uncovered that I really don't hear anyone talking about. And I think it's, again, I'm a very big picture thinker, very holistic, but I also understand the details and the nuance. And so I'm able to see it from a broader perspective than I think most people, and then go, oh, these are the things you're missing. And so if that's what's happening, is you're finding yourself more and more frustrated, more and more unhappy. I even remember moments in my career, and I hear this from a lot of women, when it's like, you have that moment where you're like, I don't even care. Or like, this isn't brain science. Why is this a big deal? And you're doing that in your job. These are signs and symptoms that what you're doing is misaligned with your life. And that's when you definitely want to seek help. Oftentimes at that point, we think to ourselves, well, I just need to suck it up, or it'll get better, or it's irresponsible to make a change, or I'll have to take a big pay cut and I can't do that. And I would tell you that that's not true. It's certainly it happens, But if you get expert help, it doesn't have to be that way. I've had clients get on the low end 10% increases. I've also in the last year, even in the middle of COVID, right, had clients get 30, 40, 50. I had a client get a 59% increase and another one get a 79%.
Wow. Holy crap. Cheers to that. That's one hell of a promotion. Oh my God. Or pay raise too. Oh my goodness.
Well, and that was the highest one was pre-bonus.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
And so I share that because so much of my passion is to help women understand what's possible for them. We stay stuck in that moment because we think it's going to be risky. We think we have to sacrifice or give up the flexibility that we have or the money that we have. And what happens is we think it's risky to make a change. But when we keep going, we're actually increasing risk. I can't tell you the number of women who've come to me that either at the right before they came, they got laid off or put on a performance plan or within months of coming to me because they waited so long. And so it's a big part of my passion to help people understand you're actually not safe. These are the signs and symptoms. You will have a breakdown, and the implications of that emotionally and financially are so significant. You really want to avoid that. So that's one big key. The second big key is if you are in your job search and you are not having luck, maybe you're being ghosted or you're going through the interview process and you just can't seem to land the role, and you know that you're struggling to be able to really communicate to people your value, right? That is huge. Oftentimes we believe going to fix our resume is the thing that will fix it all. But right, you and I know this statistic-wise, 80% of jobs are gotten through networking.
Right.
70 to 75% of jobs are never even posted.
Yeah.
So if you can't successfully, and you don't know how to successfully position yourself, understand the right person to open up, understand the right message to be able to open doors, who is the right person you should actually connect with, and you cannot really convey with a rich level of detail who you are, what value you bring, and what you're looking for, then you are not going to be successful by and large. You're going to have a really long, painful job search. And so oftentimes I find women who are unfulfilled in their careers are going to find similar jobs or like adjacent jobs. It's like, oh, I'm really, and I did that for years, by the way, like, oh, I'm a merchant, I'm a buyer. Maybe I can go to the supplier side. Or maybe I can go, you know, I was looking for these things that felt obvious that people would hire me, but A, I wasn't really passionate about it. B, I didn't really understand what my skills or strengths were. And C, I certainly was not, I didn't have the right strategy or understanding of how to build relationships with people to be able to convey and communicate that. And so I say, if you're going through the job process and you're believing, okay, if I just update my resume, that will be fine. But you actually don't know how to communicate or you're not clear. And when I say clear, I mean crystal clear. Like Renee, I could tell you and you can envision it like it's a book, like it's a story. You're in that moment. If you can't do that for people, one of my mentors often says, if people can't see it, they can't share it. And so to be effective at the job search process and positioning yourself, you really have got to have an ability to communicate that in a way that from a networking standpoint, people can see it and they can share it, because that's how you build a spider web of people that are championing for you. And you're able to open the doors to that great, amazing opportunity that's right for you.
Yeah, exactly. So do you find that women tend to be less confident in speaking their worth? Because I know I have, and I have to coach people on that as well. So fundamentally, like, have you researched where that comes from, or what do you, why are women like that? Like, I'm not like that, fortunately.
Yeah. You know, and I think that's always the interesting thing, back to your point of how do you look at the connections? When I remember being at Target, people would always say, go talk to Blake. She knows how to advocate for herself in a way that's like authentic and natural and isn't pushy. And I never really thought that that was unusual, but I look back in high school and college, I was always the girl that could do that.
Me too.
Right. And I think it's an amazing thing, is it's like, cool, I can teach you how to do that for yourself too.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple of things. Number one, we all grow up. I've never seen somebody who's a high achiever that doesn't grow up believing secretly. Nobody knows this, right? But secretly, maybe I'm not good enough.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Right. We all have that. And it's because actually of how our brains form as children. And that when things happen, we process them internally, that there's something wrong with us, because we don't have the understanding to actually process maybe what's happening has nothing at all to do with us. So we all have that. And a lot of times that feeling like maybe we're not good enough, or we have to prove that we're good enough. And you might know that you have this if you go into a new job and you feel a lot of stress and anxiety about performing and you overwork yourself. That's a really common sign of people who feel like maybe I'm not as good as other people think that I am, or have to prove these things. And that cycle can create a ton of overwork and a lot of people being miserable in their career that they believe, just like I did, changing companies will fix that. Changing companies, I'll be able to shut work off emotionally. But I found actually starting my business, I brought those problems with me and I went, oh, aha. Wasn't just the company. Wasn't just right what I was experiencing. It was also me. So I think women tend to do that a lot. I think also as a society, if we look at how our great, you know, we are a factor of how we grew up as kids and our parents are a factor of how they grew up. So if you look at generationally, two generations ago, women were just struggling to get jobs and be heard of and have opportunities. And it wasn't okay to talk about your kids. And it wasn't okay to want to leave early to go to their games. And you had to work twice as hard to prove that you could do the job because you were facing, you know, discrimination for maternity leave and all of these things. And then we moved to the generation of probably my mom, maybe your mom as well, right? Where women were finally starting to have some traction, but still dealing with some of that. And now we're at a place where many women out earn their husbands. And yet, as a society, many of our companies are still set up with the same old mentalities. And so, you know, we grew up with this environment of believing and we get rewarded for being kind, doing what we're told, all of these things. And that doesn't necessarily create a situation that builds confidence or teaches you how to ask for what you want and know that it's okay to ask for what you want and ask for what you want in a way that feels authentic. And I think a lot of times we're told as women to ask for what we want in a very masculine way that we're all like, that doesn't feel good to me. And so I think there's a lot of elements about why women struggle with confidence. I do believe that they struggle with it more than men. But ultimately, at the heart of it is, I think a lot of times, again, just like I did, I thought it was totally normal that at 10 and 12 years old, I was reading these books. I didn't realize that, nope, that's actually kind of very unusual. Probably find a very small percentage of people that do that. I think we, many times I hear from women of like, I don't really know that I'm that special. I don't really know that I have anything that's that unique. And that's actually really untrue. It's because we don't actually value it because it's so easy to us, or it's how we approach things, or we get into a role where like we see other people doing the same job we're doing. So we assume everyone has the skills instead of realizing, well, there's a subset of people with that skills and you happen to be part of that subset. But actually, if you took that subset into the general population, actually most people can't do that job.
Right.
And so I think I struggled with that as well of, going, well, it's not that different. I see other people that can do what I do because again, I wasn't, as I often say, you can't see the label from inside the bottle.
Yeah, exactly. So what are the biggest mistakes women make when it comes to finding fulfillment and balance in their career and lives?
I think number one, it comes down to the mindset element. It's believing that it would be selfish to do the things we really want to do. Or believing that it's just not possible. And I think that the third element of that from a mindset standpoint is believing that the only way to do that is having to give up something. And those are the beliefs that keep us trapped in environments where we're not really making the impact. And we know we're not maximizing our impact when we're not able to show up for our families and ourselves in the way that we want. And it's all of those things are really just limiting beliefs. That we need somebody else to show us a way out of and realize, wait, these things aren't necessarily true. Absolutely. Maybe I actually can have exactly what I want.
Absolutely. That's my philosophy. You can have whatever you want. What are the most common mistakes women make when trying to transition careers? I know you touched on it a little bit with going like to a similar role with just a little bit, you know, going vertical or horizontally versus like jumping to a different function or career field completely.
Yeah. I think a lot of it is like what I would describe as doing very tactical things. I'm going to move to another job. I'm going to push for the promotion. I'm going to look for a similar type job. I'm going to get my resume updated. These are the very tactical things if I have to sum it up at a 30,000 foot view, I think the biggest mistake women are making is they actually are not clear on who they are as people, what makes them uniquely gifted, and what they need to be fulfilled. If you don't have that fundamental foundation, you will do what I did, which is keep changing and hoping it will make it better. And oftentimes I don't think we stop to see the bigger picture, to realize how much it's actually costing us. One of the hardest things that I spend a lot of time in my life trying to reduce and minimize my regrets, right? You probably won't be surprised to know when I was in high school as well, I was actually studying when people were at the end of their life, what their regrets were again. And then,
Blake, you are an old mature soul, girl.
My mom always said that. She was like, you were a 30-year-old trapped in a 12-year-old body. I was studying personality tests and why people were successful. Like, I was studying all of this stuff for years. And I'll tell you, my biggest regret is, honestly, I wish at 21 years old, I knew something was off, right? But I just listened to other people and I just took what seemed to be the easy path. Go into HR, that makes sense. And then I said, well, I'll go back to school and get an MBA if it doesn't work. I almost did that. Thank God I didn't, because that would have been a lot of money and time wasted. But I spent so much of my life trusting other people, searching externally, making all of these tactical or what felt like small moves, even though I moved cross country 3 times, so it was not, instead of actually realizing that the answers were inside me, but I couldn't see them, and that there was somebody who could actually help me. I don't think it even dawned on me until things got literally to the very end. Wait, maybe somebody actually can help me figure this out. I just really thought this was my battle. Something was wrong with me. This was just the way that it was. And so I encourage women who are unfulfilled to really understand why, to really understand what they need and what their value is and what their contributions are that they really want to make in this world. Because if you don't do that, you're going to keep doing a bunch of small things, mm-hmm. and they're not going to solve the problem. It's just like Band-Aid over Band-Aid over Band-Aid. And so for me, one of my biggest regrets is, you know, my oldest now is about to turn 16. So he was almost 12 when I left corporate, and most of his life, he saw me stressed out, constantly worried about my job, constantly trying to figure this stuff out. And, there was a lot of his life and my daughter, who's now 13, that I can't get back. And it is a huge regret to think, wow, it could have been simple. I could have had this problem solved in months, and I went for years doing this. And in the same respect, I recognize that regret for me is something that I can save other women from. And so if I hadn't gone through the journey, I wouldn't be able to do what I do today, which is the greatest gift that I've been given.
Amen, sister. Cheers to that. Yeah, that's incredible. There's so many. So I'm really busy right now in my business. But I always, whenever my kids need me, and if I'm doing, like, you know, now I'm working from home part-time and coming to the office part-time, but I always keep the lens on, do what's most important. And then it's always family. Oh, there's your cat. Cute.
Cat Ellie, she wants to join. She wants to join.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, so fuzzy. So how does working with a career coach impact their journey?
Yeah. So I think this is a place, again, that sometimes we can get really caught in limited thinking. I'll just give you some examples of ways of which, you know, at this point, I often say, and this will probably be shocking to the people listening, and it would have been shocking to me 5 years ago. In the last 4 years, I've worked with over 18 different coaches and consultants, and I've spent over $200,000 investing. Holy
fuck it. That's a lot. That's incredible.
Yep. Investing in the skills and knowledge that I have. And I will continue to do so because I've seen time and time again, the benefits that I have gained. I used to be somebody who was very self-sufficient, wanted to solve my own problems. That's part of why this journey was so darn long for me. And now I recognize the value of just getting an expert to be able to solve those problems. So some of the areas that working with a career coach can really help you. Number one, fixing the root cause problem of you being burned out, exhausted, never having energy. Actually helping you develop skills, tools, and habits where you can put in the right boundaries and the right structure so that you are spending your time on the things that really matter to you, as opposed to allowing life and your circumstances to drive that for you. finally being able to transition into a career path that you would have never envisioned. Peace of mind and clarity on actually, this is who I am and what I'm gifted at. The ability to be able to position and communicate yourself in a way that opens doors that haven't. So not only have my clients been able to land these, you know, amazing dream roles for themselves, I've even had clients where the company has created that role for them.
Oh, I love that. That's my favorite.
I mean, it's amazing when that happens. That's when you really are showcasing your value. But I've also had clients tell me, I had a client, she had over 32 years of experience. She had worked with a career coach before me. The career coach actually told her she had to take a pay cut.
Never. Don't listen to that ever.
I was so mad. I was like,
I hate that.
No, that person should not be doing that job.
Yeah.
She had moved into a role in a company that was completely not the right fit for her. So by the time she came to me, she's like, I have all this experience and, you know, I took this huge pay cut and I'm absolutely miserable. And through this process of uncovering her secret sauce transferable skills and building what I call bridge stories, which is really how I help my clients build synergy between their secret sauce skills and their past experience with that future. So it's really targeted specifically at that role, that employer. So that person sees they already had the skills and experience they needed. They just happen to use it in a certain industry or a certain way. Through doing that process, when she landed her new role, she transitioned into a new industry. She got a pay increase. She got paid in the top 75th percentile of that pay range. And, but maybe the coolest thing is she told me that her boss said a couple months after she started that she set the gold standard for interviewing, that everyone that came after her had to meet it. And she told me, I now understand why in my career, why I felt undervalued, why when I would speak up, I didn't feel like people would necessarily always take the action, or I didn't feel like I always got the credit for things. She said, now in the organization, when I come in and I speak, people listen, doors are opening for me. These are things we often don't think about, but they're very much tied to understanding and having an understanding of how to best position yourself. And then of course, there's other things like, right, significantly more money, much faster trajectories. On average, they say, if you're unclear about your path, it's a year of a journey searching. I would actually say, I believe that to be much longer. You might actually be heavy hitting searching for a year, but I've seen it be multiple years. And I've taken clients from that to actually landing roles within 3 months.
That's so awesome.
Huge trajectory change. And then the other thing I would say, sometimes, again, it's the intangibles you don't think about. You show up as a more present wife, mom. I've had countless clients tell me how much this process and really the tools that they've been given have enabled them to show up and build better relationships, that their marriages are better than they've ever been. Mm-hmm. And these are things often we don't think about because we think, oh, I need a career coach and that person needs to help me find a job. And there are some people that that's all they do. But I would challenge you that there could be so much more.
Yeah. Well, and everything trickles into all areas of your life. If you are unhappy in one or stressed out, you know, it trickles into the whole dynamic of your life. So awesome. Where do you get your inspiration? I want to know favorite book. What's your favorite book for self-improvement? Mm-hmm.
That is a tough one. I'm looking back because
I know I'm a junkie. I have got tons.
I would actually tell you the book Clarity by Jamie Smart.
I haven't heard that one. I got to write that down.
It's an amazing one. He really helps you. He talks about inside out thinking and he really helps shift your perspective around how you think about things and really about getting clear about what matters to you. I think a really phenomenal book and will challenge you to think very, very differently about, success and achieving what it is that you want.
Awesome. I'll have to get that for sure. So thanks for that recommendation. And where can our listeners find you, Blake?
Yes. So I have a podcast myself. It's called The Bridge to Fulfillment. And would love it for anybody on here. If you want to come join us, what you can expect are short, coaching episodes mixed in with, I have a lot of client success stories. I really believe, as I said before, about helping women see what's possible for them. And so being able to see women who have been, struggling and were really able to transition into that path that they wanted. And then sometimes I'll also have guests on as well to come share expertise or knowledge, but really we talk a lot of the important topics, right? Fulfillment in your career and life, balance, really maximizing your value, really being able to feel purposeful in your life, and how to be able to create life on your terms. So podcast is called The Bridge to Fulfillment. I also have a great email series that if you are listening and you would love some free resources and tools, you can go to www.bridge2fulfillment.com, but it's the number two. So it's bridge2fulfillment.com, and just sign up there and you'll get a ton of free resources, including my Protect and Prepare series, which has been really popular. I had a woman, I launched that during COVID, and I had a woman actually listen, never worked with me personally, just went through the sessions, and she went from feeling trapped, she had been laid off, feeling trapped and having no opportunities, to getting multiple job offers and a 30% or 35% pay increase just off of listening to and applying what I shared.
That's incredible. Go check Blake out. And I want to thank you for all the value bombs that you dropped. And I'm so grateful that you found your vision and mission, because you are helping change women's lives, Blake. And that is incredible. So cheers. One last cheers. You're amazing. And for all the listeners, if you need help with your resume or LinkedIn, go to payraiseandpromotion.com to find out resources that I have made available for you there. And until next time, cheers.
Cheers. Thank you so much for having me, Renee.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We are thrilled to have made a worldwide impact with listeners in 9 different countries. If you've enjoyed this conversation, please be sure to subscribe to Careers and Cocktails on YouTube and drop us a review on your favorite podcast app. If you're looking to update your resume or you're stuck in your career, I'm designated by LinkedIn as the top resume writer and career coach expert. I even created a resume and e-learning course to help you if you want to do your own resume. It's super simple and extremely affordable. Go to careersandcocktails.com to learn more. I also wrote a book called I Hate Mondays for all of you job seekers who hate your jobs and want to love your Mondays. You can go there for the same information. And of course, I'm up to so much valuable information sharing that for you hiring leaders, if you want to find the secrets to finding the best talent, I have a hiring guide at careersandcocktails.com as well. I am here to share information and help people love what they do. Until next time, cheers.